All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for the introduction. My name again is Benjamin Hanke, and today I want to talk to you about creating growing degree day models for six commonly used plant growth regulators. A little bit of background on why we wanted to do this research. Back in 2005, Beasley and Branham found that plant growth regulator degradation has been shown to be affected by temperature. More so, as your temperature increases, your degradation also increases. In 2011, Kreuzer and Soldat showed that Trinexapec ethyl performance could be predicted by using growing degree day models on creeping bentgrass putting greens. And the model that you see there on the screen is the one that they were able to develop during that study. And I'll talk about that. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Oops. So moving on, growing degree days have been researched on putting greens, but not really on fairways, which is a problem because fairways are often treated with these plant growth regulators. And then lastly, there might be a potential difference that mowing height can affect plant growth regulator performance due to two possible reasons. One, there might be a buildup of plant active gibberellin precursors. The other one might be there's accumulation of non-structural carbohydrates during the suppression phase. So our main objective for the study was to determine optimum growing degree day reapplication intervals for six plant growth regulators on creeping bentgrass fairways. A little bit about our experimental design. We had two sites at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. We had six plant growth regulator treatments and one non-treated control. We used one turf grass, shocking, it's creeping bentgrass mown at 12 millimeters. We used a randomized complete block design with three replications. Plots measured 1.2 meters by 1.8 meters. Plots were mowed twice a week and clippings were collected once a week. And then lastly, growing degree days were recorded and accumulated daily following plant growth regulator application using the base 0°C method. And then just briefly, how that works is, let's say on one day you have an average temperature of 20°C, next day it's a bit warmer, average of 25°C, you add them together, and over 2 days you had 45 growing degree days. Pretty simple system. Next, these are our six plant growth regulator products we chose. The first one is a new, then Cutlass, Legacy, Musketeer, Primo Max, and then Trimit. Each one has a different active ingredient, and we also wanted just to see which products would perform better or if there's difference at all. And then lastly, there is our liters of active ingredient per hectare that we applied on our plots. A little bit about our treatment application. Applications were made at the beginning of June, July, and August at Wisconsin, and May, June, and July at Nebraska. And so each month was its own experiment, and each experiment consisted of only one single application. After that application, growing degree days were tracked over a long period of time, as well as yield data was collected over multiple months following that application. And then products were watered in the night of application with 6.4 millimeters of water due to some products being root absorbed. And then lastly, this is our growth model equation that was developed by Kreuzer and Soldat in 2011 that could make that line that you see on the bottom right of your screen. And then Kreuzer et al. In 2017 discusses more on that in greater detail. And from this equation, we're able to create a model that looks something like this. To start off with, on the x-axis is the growing degree days, again, using that base 0°C system. On the y-axis is your relative clipping yield. The next thing I want to point out is that white bar at the 1 on the y-axis. That represents your control growth. So anything that you have below that white bar indicates that you are in the suppression phase. Anything above that white bar indicates that you are in the rebound phase. Now, starting off with anew, comparing both sites side by side, looking at maximum percent suppression first, both performed really well, with Wisconsin performing better than at Nebraska. However, in Wisconsin, we saw a stronger rebound phase compared to Nebraska. And then lastly, it appeared that the suppression phase and the rebound phase lasted longer at Nebraska than in Wisconsin. Moving on to Cutlass, again, they both performed well in terms of maximum percent suppression, with Wisconsin performing better. Both had fairly similar rebound phases, but again, it appears that the rebound and the suppression phase is lasting longer at Nebraska compared to Wisconsin. Oops. Moving on to Primo, now these graphs don't look quite similar like the last two we've seen. But starting off with percent maximum suppression, both performed very well in that regard, with Wisconsin performing better. Wisconsin, on one hand, went into that rebound phase, where in Nebraska, it never went into that rebound phase. And then so the suppression phase, comparing those, it took Nebraska over 1,000 growing degree days to get back to normal growth, where in Wisconsin, it only took around 600 growing degree days. Whoops. And the last product I want to show you is Trimit. Looking at maximum suppression, both performed really well with up to almost 80% suppression. Both had strong rebound phases, where Nebraska appeared to have a stronger rebound phase than Wisconsin. But again, we see in Nebraska that suppression phase and that rebound phase is lasting longer compared to Wisconsin. So this is a reapplication interval and maximum suppression for each of these products at different sites. Now, I want to take your attention down to Legacy because I didn't show the graph on that. We can see at maximum suppression both perform fairly similarly. However, again, looking at that growing degree day interval, it is still lasting longer in Nebraska compared to Wisconsin. And then looking at Musketeer at the top, I didn't show that graph either. But again, both products performed very similarly in terms of maximum suppression, but in terms of growing degree day interval, Nebraska is still having that longer suppression phase. So how does this compare to the previous work done by Kreuzer and Soldat back in 2011? They found that using a 200 growing degree day interval is consistently suppressing clipping yield throughout the growing season, but they only saw a maximum suppression of 20%. Comparing that to our current study at Wisconsin, we see that there is an increase of 150 growing degree day interval, as well as suppression being almost four times as high just by increasing mowing height. And we see a similar pattern when we look at the Nebraska data, comparing it to the previous work. Another interesting thing that we noted was that in May, suppression ended sooner in Nebraska than in July. So on the left here, just looking at anew, you can see that May comes out of that suppression phase around 100 growing degree days, where when you look at July, it takes past 1,500 growing degree days to get past that suppression phase. Now looking at Trimit, again, we can see this, that in May, around 1,000 growing degree days, May is coming out of that suppression phase. But again, looking at July, it is still taking almost 1,500 growing degree days to come out of that suppression phase. And another interesting observation that I just wanted to share was that in July, had higher temperatures, which we expected, but it also had higher clipping yields than in May. And those are just showing the averages of the control yields as well as temperature. So in conclusion, we saw similar suppression results between the two sites, which we are very happy to see considering they are both at different climates. The University of Nebraska had longer growing degree day intervals than at University of Wisconsin-Madison. Anew, Primo, and Trimit had the greater suppression than Cutlass, Legacy, and Musketeer. Fairway height was regulated more than green height when we compared our current study with the study done in 2011. And then also, grown degree day model performs well in cold and optimal temperatures, but may be less accurate in super optimal temperatures for cool season turf. And so this would open up the door to try to help make these models better, that maybe instead of as your temperature is just always increasing, as your degradation increases, maybe there's an optimal range depending on your species that you have high metabolism, therefore your grass is growing and you have more tissue removal. Because metabolism and tissue removal is the only way you can remove that active ingredient from the plant. And so maybe what's happening in Nebraska is you're past that optimal range where you're having higher temperatures, but you have less plant growth regular metabolism and less removal of tissue, and therefore your product is lasting longer in the plant, maintaining that longer suppression. So with that, I just want to say thank you very much for listening to me today. I just want to thank the Wisconsin Turf Grass Association and New Farm for funding for this project, as well as I want to thank Mr. Pete Beer, as well as the University of Nebraska workers that helped us collect clippings, as well as Dr. Soldat and Dr. Kreuzer for guidance and help and direction with this project. With that, I want to open up to any questions that you might have. Yes, sir. Yeah, the question was, is there a difference between cultivars within creeping bengrass? I didn't put that on there. I'd have to ask Dr. Fraser and Sol that. To my knowledge, I don't know, but that would be really interesting. So to answer your question, I don't know off the top of my head. Yes, sir, in the back.
You mentioned climate differences.
How hot was the difference between Nebraska and Wisconsin? If I had to guess, I mean, in Wisconsin, we were just in the mid-80s or so. In Nebraska, I would guess in the 90s, but I don't know off the top of my head. So I apologize on that. Yes, sir?
Going ahead and having an effect where PGR is fully absorbed versus unabsorbed?
Can you say that one more time?
I had an effect on the PGR is more fully absorbed than unabsorbed.
I'm sorry, I still can't hear you.
Height of cut?
Height of cut. It potentially has, yeah. At the end, we think that that might happen because maybe some of that active ingredient is staying at the top of the plant, and so if you're mowing it more frequently, maybe you're taking more of that product out of the plant. Rather, where higher cuts, you're not mowing as frequently, and so maybe the product has more time to translocate into the rest of the plant. But that's one thing we've talked about, and that'd be a good project going forward. The question was, can you say it one more time so I can repeat it? Yeah, so that's why we're curious about maybe there's, going forward, there's that optimal range where maybe if temperatures are more ideal depending on your type of grass, that it can continue to grow how it wants to. Whereas maybe when the grass is, for instance, creeping bengrass in Nebraska, when it's hot, it's not wanting to grow as much, and then you're going to have less of a rebound because it's not trying to grow, it's just trying to survive. But that's one thing we're interested in trying to understand more. Yes, sir.
In terms of the scale of suppression between what was observed on greens and fairway, what do you attribute the differences in suppression between those two? Do you think it's mostly rate, or do you think something else is causing a significant suppression in fairways?
So I think it has more to do with the height of cut, that when grass is mowed to a level that it necessarily doesn't like, it's just trying to grow more to survive. Whereas maybe when it's at higher heights, it's comfortable there, so it's not trying to grow as much. But that's one question that we're interested in trying to answer as well. But that's just a guess.
Okay, thank our speaker.
Thank you.